Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Steve-On also in studio with me. A couple of homeschooling dads putting things together on the flip side of Western civilization. As Western civilization dies out, faith, family, and freedom disappearing in the Western world. And 42% of kids born outside of wedlock, up from 6% in 1970, meaning things are seven times worse than they were just 40 years ago, and getting worse all the time. That's why any kind of a reforming influence that's bringing back faith, family, and fighting for freedom in the 21st century is appreciated by this radio program. And today we're going to take a look again at homeschooling. Why? Because homeschoolers, generally speaking, like to restore and reintegrate the family as a family in the 21st century. And homeschoolers tend to like freedom. They're the ones fighting for freedom. You want to find anybody interested in decreasing the influence of government in our lives in an era where 60% of the GNI is consumed by governments at all levels, up from 9% in 1900. You want to find people interested in backing government off of education, backing government off the family-owned economies, backing government off of all areas of life. Homeschoolers at the forefront of fighting tooth and nail for any semblance of freedom left in the 21st century. I'm thankful for home educators. Hard to find anybody else fighting the good fight for freedom in the 21st century. There are a few. There are some here and there, but not very many. Hey, you want to look at the Tea Party and you want to find the people who are at the forefront of fighting for freedom tends to be homeschoolers. Not always, but I tell you what, you want to find pro-lifers out there, tend to be homeschoolers. People out there on the front lines of the battle fighting for the right to life. Generally speaking, you're going to find homeschoolers. Okay? Homeschoolers on the forefront of the battle for restoring family, faith, and freedom in the 21st century, and I'm thankful for them.
Amen.
All right. So there's my little spiel. Now, World Magazine. Now, I've been getting World Magazine since the 1980s. I used to think that World Magazine was interested in home educators, and home educators were some of their primary market. They were the ones buying the magazine.
Yeah, we
And then they gave a lot of spread to public schools. A lot of spread to private Christian schools. And homeschool has kind of taken the back seat, I think. It's just, that's my impression, Steve. Maybe I'm wrong. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. But the recent piece published in World Magazine on home education was not particularly positive.
Yeah, it was positive particularly elements. Negative. I
think. You think it was negative? It's more negative than positive.
Yeah.
I think so, too. And, you know, they found the 25 people upset with home education that started the little ihatehomeschool.com. So they found that, and then they gave them a nice little publicity piece.
Yeah.
And HSLDA, you know, did their faithful thing. They wandered up to the microphone and tried to fight for homeschooling and its reputation. But
yeah, they got a paragraph in the middle of the article.
They did. But but you know what? And I realize that makes news. I realize the 25 people upset in America make news. But they're not interviewing the 3.2 million kids who've been homeschooled.
Yeah.
That didn't show up in the magazine. And I don't see that showing up much in the magazine these days. But, you know, and here's the problem with a lot of Christian organizations. They turn into a circular firing squad.
Yeah.
You know how that works? You know, everybody's got to stand a big
everybody
circle.
Everybody aim in the middle.
Yeah. Aim. Fire, shoot, and everybody falls. You're like, what happened? You know? We turn into circular firing squads way too much. And I think it was a couple of months ago, they kind of had a negative piece on Mike Ferris.
Yeah.
And they apologized afterwards, thankfully. But what is it with World Magazine, guys? I mean, come on. Aren't we supposed to be one big happy family? Isn't there supposed to be a little bit of symbiosis happening in the kingdom of God? We are overwhelmed. We are outnumbered. The other side is going to kill us when it comes to homeschool freedoms, the freedom to speak against homosexuality. The left is on the rise, baby. Barack Obama is president of the United States, the most pro-infanticide president ever to serve. And what are we doing? Cutting each other down? I don't think so. Let's try not doing to do that. Now, they talked a little bit about homeschooling negligence.
Yeah.
And homeschooling abuse. Now, granted, there are abuse cases out there. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
And sexual abuse, physical abuse in the homeschool is as bad as it is anywhere else. And there's a lot of it out there. Here's an article from a South Dakota newspaper referring to child sexual abuse there. The estimate is 8% of kids in South Dakota are sexually abused. That's bad. And that is really bad.
Yeah.
That's really, really, really bad. If we're close to 1 in 10 kids in South Dakota sexually abused, that's really, really bad.
Now, and that's overall all the families in
South
Dakota.
That's right. That's right. Okay. And World Magazine, to their credit, did report that 7% of kids complain to some kind of unwanted touching in public schools.
Right. And that's nationwide.
Mm-hmm. That's nationwide. So a lot of the sexual abuse is coming in public schools.
Yeah.
So let's not negate that issue. And HSLDA apparently has said 1.2% of HSLDA members complain of some kind of abuse or something like that.
Yeah. I think that's the state complaining of homeschooling abuse, which could be a messy house. It might be that, you know, they didn't have the right.
Not just sexual abuse.
Food.
That could be messy house. Right. It could be a lot of things.
Right.
Okay. So it's very possible there's way, way, way less abuse happening in homeschools than the rest of the population.
Yeah. But it makes the news when it happens.
Yeah. It does. It does. And of course, what we're talking about here is the -3 standard deviations. And it's okay to refer to some of the abuse cases happening. That's newsworthy. But we got to keep these things in perspective.
Right.
And by the way, the report did not include references to individuals who've been sexually abused in homeschools.
Right.
As far as I could tell, it was not a part of the story. So first of all, let me say from the outset that sexual abuse, physical abuse, that's verifiable, 2 or 3 witnesses, et cetera, okay, quarter trial, works through the issue, and sure enough, somebody was sexually abused. That's really, really bad.
Yeah.
That should not happen.
Anywhere.
Anywhere. Thank you. And I think it's due to the fact that we have this sexual revolution that unleashed itself in the 1950s and 1960s. And America and many other nations around the world have become a sexual cesspool in which homosexuality, incest, sexual abuse, all sorts of things are happening.
Yes.
Which is a very, very sad thing, a very, very bad thing. And may God bring repentance to the nation. Okay, but when you talk about things like spiritual abuse, emotional abuse, educational neglect, we're talking about something that's very, very slippery, very, very hard to get your hands around.
Right.
Okay? And it's fun for people to use those terms because, you know, you can just bring accusations against anybody and everybody as you use the slippery terms that are very, very hard to define.
So, yeah, how would you define spiritual abuse?
Yeah, or emotional abuse. What is that? What exactly is that?
Well, she spoke harshly to me and used the Bible to let me know that I was wrong.
Right.
So I was spiritually and emotionally abused.
Right, right. Somebody came up to a rapist and said, it's wrong to rape. How? You're abusing me. You're abusing me. That's not very grace-filled. You know, what in the world are you doing accusing me of sin? That's terrible.
Yeah, you need to honor
so
your
abused.
Father and your
I'm
mother.
I'm so abused.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I've been so abused. Yeah. Because this Christian is telling me that I've sinned against God. I need to repent. Okay, so if that's spiritual abuse, okay, I don't think the Apostle Paul would agree with you.
Yeah.
Put it that way. But when someone says, I could have had a better education than that provided by my mother or by my father.
Yeah.
That's really, really, really hard to prove. How do you know that? Maybe it was a character problem on your part. Maybe you didn't obey your parents. Maybe you didn't study your books as you were told to. And to think that you could have had a better education if you had done it this way versus that way is extremely hard to prove.
Right.
Extremely hard to prove.
Because you can't go back and do it that way.
You can't. You can't. And you, if you, even if you could have, you would have dragged your same old person with your same old character flaws, with your same old slothfulness issue into the public school, private school setting or other setting, and you could have done worse than you did with your parents, trying to do whatever they could have done with you, even with all of your character issues that you're dealing with. It's fun to blame your parents for your own lack of character.
Oh, yeah.
That's fun to do.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are a lot of kids out there who are doing just that. They're running across the country. Yeah, their parents pointed out their sin, pointed out Christ occasionally. But they still rebelled, and they were scoffers, and they refused to take the correction their parents gave them. They violated every single principle in the book of Proverbs.
Yeah.
They made it a point
not to follow through on anything in the book of Proverbs. Nothing. And then at the end of their educational experience at home, they didn't succeed. They didn't make it into Harvard.
Right. But here's the case with the World Magazine article and this gal who wrote this, 31 years old. One of the things that she was complaining about was that she still counts on her fingers and has to double check the tip on her, at the restaurant table.
That's 40% of public school graduates, by the way.
31 years old now. Yeah. She's 31 years old, and she set up a website and started an organization, apparently counting on her fingers.
Yeah.
And so, give me a break. Yeah. If you can do this, and you can count.
And if your parents failed in 18 years or 12 years of education, she's had an additional 13 years.
Right.
So
her parents, grow up. Read some books. Yeah, there's books out there on math. Exactly. You can learn how to not count on your fingers.
I ran into a family, Steve, a couple of years ago. And these guys had made it through Littleton Public Schools for 12 years, okay? They'd take the special needs track as well, okay? For 12 years, both of them, they got married at, 20, 22 years of age, and they couldn't read. Okay, Littleton Public Schools had spent $347,000 on the education of these kids. They couldn't read. So they went to church, and there were some elderly church people who, took them in and they taught them how to read. They were concerned because they went down to the library, got some Dr. Seuss books, and he said they couldn't read, the big 27-point font stuff.
Wow.
And they got concerned because they were having kids.
Yeah.
Pregnant with the first. So they went to some folks in the church, and church folks helped them. They taught them how to read. And so they thought to themselves, okay, let me get this straight. The Littleton Public Schools spent $347,000, and they couldn't teach us how to read. Couldn't pull it off.
And I know there's stats out there as to how many seniors can't even read their diplomas.
Oh, yeah. It's really high.
It's high.
Functional literacy, really, really, really high. In fact, college graduates, it's about 40%.
Yeah. Isn't that
for
crazy?
College graduates. Okay. Yeah. So this little whiner talking about her bad experience with home education, she's had 13 years to learn how to count.
Right.
And to learn how to add. And it still hasn't happened. Sounds to me like there's something wrong with her.
Yeah. Or she's whining without any reason.
Yeah. So anyway, this couple decided, if the public school spent $347,000 and couldn't teach us how to read, why would we send our kids to these schools?
Yeah.
That was their logic.
Right.
And I've met this family again. This is something that, now it's been about 10 years. Their kids are doing very well.
Yeah.
Very, very well. They got 8 kids. They live in Nebraska. They're doing very well. So anyway, why are we sending our kids to public schools? And there are sort of the -3 standard deviations everywhere. Thankfully, homeschoolers are averaging somewhere around the 87th percentile for reading and literature and such. So if they're at the 87th percentile, my guess is that there's got to be something like 93% above the functional illiteracy level. Or 99% above the functionally illiterate level. Therefore, people like World Magazine are going to have to look hard and long for the 1%.
That's right.
The -3 standard deviations on the standard curve.
Yeah.
And they found them. Evidently, they found them. They interviewed them.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you take a look at the overall standardized tests, homeschoolers score consistently in the 60 to 80 percentile. Average for public schools, 50%. So we're above that, too.
The other illustration given by the World Magazine article was a young lady whose parents were divorced. And here's one thing that I think almost every educator understands. That if the family situation is dysfunctional, the marriage is breaking down, there's divorce in the family, the kids generally are not going to do well in school.
Right. No matter where they go.
Doesn't matter where they go. Oh, yeah. The reason you've got such problems in public schools is not the teachers, generally speaking. It's the home life. And just taking a kid who's raised in a dysfunctional home, single mom, et cetera, putting them in the public schools is not going to fix the problem necessarily. In fact, it generally doesn't fix the problem. Why? Because they come from dysfunctional home backgrounds. There's a reason why inner city schools typically are producing the very worst results of all. And that's because the family situation for these kids attending these inner city schools are dysfunctional. And you can't fix the problem by fixing the schools. And you can't fix the problem by fixing the education. I'm sorry. You've got to fix the family relationships. You have to fix the family. And that should be a no-brainer. Moreover, I think World Magazine should think biblically about these things. What does the Bible say about educational neglect? Again, look it up in the concordance.
Oh, yeah.
See, people aren't used to that. Let me explain to you what a concordance is. Concordance is typically found in the back of the Bible. You can find them online. BibleHub.com. It's called BibleHub.com. You can go there. And you look up the word educational neglect. Look it up in the Bible. You say it's not there. Yeah, exactly. Why? Because it's not an issue. What's the issue?
Family.
The issue is discipleship neglect.
Right.
Okay. It's the issue, biblically speaking, if we were thinking biblically, not with the psychobabble that the world gives us, but if we're thinking biblically, educational neglect is the failure to teach God's word as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. Okay. So those are the categories in which we should be thinking, friends. And now here's the next question. How do we prosecute that? Through the civil magistrate. Because that's the next question that comes to the minds of the socialists, whether they work for Time Magazine or whether or not they're working for World Magazine. I don't know if they socialists working there or not. But the question in the minds of the socialists that are in the Christian population and the non-Christian population is, if there's an educational neglect where a parent refuses to teach their children God's word as they sit in the house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down, the question in their minds is, should the state prosecute it? And my answer is no.
No.
Thank you. I'm glad. You've got a biblical worldview too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Incredible. Steve's got a biblical worldview. I got a biblical worldview.
Yeah.
Yeah. The state doesn't prosecute it. So who prosecutes it? Well, where there are church relationships.
Yes.
where there's somebody who cares. Here's one thing I'm learning, Steve. The state can't fix these problems. They can't fix the family.
They're not designed
to. Educational neglect.
Yeah.
They can't. And doesn't matter how many compulsory attendance laws they press down. Doesn't matter how many their minions they hire to enter into every single home and double check. Doesn't matter. Doesn't fix the inner city family. Has never fixed the inner city family. Has never fixed the educational problem in the inner cities where there's all kinds of dysfunctionality in the families. Friends, the government can't fix it. Period. Get that down straight. Those of you working for World Magazine and Time Magazine, anywhere else where there's people trying to be the do-gooders and trying to fix society's problems, how do you fix society's problems? It doesn't happen by government. It happens by people who care. Yeah, people who care. People in the church, people in the community come side by side and help those families to homeschool and disciple their kids. That's how it gets fixed. We'll be back in just a moment with more on this piece. Homeschool failures. That's the topic on this edition of Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson, Steve Wilson in studio.
For thousands of years, families would work together in the fields in a family economy. Little boys would plow the fields next to dad, and everybody would help with harvest. Pickin' time. Well, now youth unemployment and underemployment rates stand at 80%, double what it was in 2001, two recessions ago. Unemployment and underemployment for college graduates exceeds 50%. And 70% of young men are not grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970. Back in 1930, 70% of 15-year-old boys were still working on the family farms. Now they play computer games until they're 30 years old. No, make that 35. The family economy has virtually disappeared in the last 50 years, but we're bringing it back. Generations with Vision is sponsoring family economics conferences all over the country. In 2014, we're sponsoring conferences in Denver and Kansas City, Missouri. We're getting together with thousands of families to talk about family integrated economies, mentoring your sons and daughters in business, and trusting God to provide the increase. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com.
We're back on the Generations Radio broadcast talking about homeschool educational neglect. education neglect when my parents did not get me into Harvard. Why didn't my parents get me into Harvard? What's wrong with them? Well, the point is, the goal is not to get you into Harvard. The goal is to get you into heaven.
It's a talk that Mike Smith gives that talk.
Yeah.
Heaven, not Harvard.
Right.
The goal is to teach as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down, and teach what?
The Word of God. The goal is biblical discipleship in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the core in the education program of a child. And I understand there are secularists that may listen to the program, don't believe that. I understand that's a different worldview. Got a humanist worldview. I don't. I have a biblical worldview.
Yeah. And when they talk about spiritual abuse, spiritual abuse really is not following Deuteronomy 6.
Yeah, it's not teaching the Word of God as you sit in the house.
Right. And that's what's really going on. And, they're thinking that when you do that, that's spiritual abuse.
And the problem is Huffington Post will not agree with you.
That's right. That's right.
Or patheos.com.
Yeah.
You know, or apostate.com or wherever. Here's the other thing I think we ought to draw into this. Homeschooling families are not like public school families. They have different values, generally speaking. Now, some share values, but I'm talking about Christian homeschool families. Their values are primarily, first and foremost, not to get their kid into Harvard to get them a good job.
Right.
That's not primary. It's not being sure the kid can read Plato before he's 12 years of age.
Yeah.
And get really messed up.
Yeah.
With the wrong worldview. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not the goal. See, homeschoolers bring in other values, like relationship building, character building, work, worship. These are important. So it's not that you can count when you're 31 years of age. Now, hopefully that's a byproduct.
Yeah.
Of other things that have been happening. But homeschool families are focused on other priorities. And that's a shocker to the world out there.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the, do you remember the dad and the daughter who like split the city, went out into the wilderness and lived in a tent for a while?
Right.
She ended up, you know, they were so afraid that she was, you know, just horribly abused, didn't know anything.
Yep.
And she scored way high.
She scored as a 12th grade high school graduate at 12 years of age.
Right.
And they'd been woods schooling for 4 years.
Right.
Yeah. Remember that story. But again, the goal is not to be sure that your child is hitting the 97th percentile in math or reading. That's not the goal. That's not the goal.
Jesus said something about that. You know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose your soul?
Yeah. Well, what socialists are doing, and I've seen this more and more, Steve, and I'm concerned about World Magazine. I hope that they don't go this direction. But what the socialists are doing is they're looking for the -3 sigma cases and using it as the PR case against home education in America. We've seen this 100 times, if I've seen it once. And that's what they do. That's what they do. Never mind the fact that homeschoolers are registering, averaging at the 87th percentile. And Dr. Ray's study looked at other testing services beyond Bob Jones. I think he was looking at a broader slice of the population than the Rutner study in the 1990s. I think Dr. Ray nailed it with the Ray study that came out about 3-4 years ago. And the overall core average was running somewhere around 87%. And remember, the Rutner study of the 1990s was running somewhere around the 83rd percentile point. So the bad guys are going to come after us one way or the other. I'm just hoping the good guys would understand a biblical perspective on issues like this and fight for freedom, a little faith, a little courage to get out there and shove this back in the faces of the socialists and the homeschool whiners. That, by the way, these homeschool whiners, let's get back to what they're really all about. They're jettisoning a biblical world and life view. They're looking for more socialism. They want more governmental controls of education. They want more social services, sticking their noses into homeschoolers all around America. This is their agenda, from what I've read. And they're traitors to the cause. The cause of what? The cause of freedom. The cause of anybody who wants to fight for freedom against the rising tide of totalitarianism and socialism in America. I'm seeing a lot of these guys. They're bitter against the values represented by home education and their parents, and it's probably due to broken relationships in the home. So they walk away from the home, all embittered against their parents and whatever stinking issues their parents ever stood for and whatever friends their parents ever hung out with. And they're just angry, bitter people who are have it in for home education. Not everybody, but there's a handful out there that are making some noise. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm not giving their websites any credence whatsoever.
Right. What they need to do is put the blame where the blame actually is supposed to be. They're blaming the whole homeschooling movement. They're taking, they're actually committing the fallacy. It's a genetic fallacy. It's a fallacy of generalization that you take the small bit and you say that must be true of the whole.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah,
since yeah. since Judas was one of Jesus' disciples and he betrayed Jesus, then all the disciples must be a bunch of nutcases.
Yeah.
And
that happens. You go irrational when your relationships bust up and you begin to hate everything about whatever your parents were associated with because those relationships went sour. Moreover, these ex-homeschoolers, to which World Magazine is giving credence, are pro-homosexual.
Yeah.
They're right there behind the emerging gay movement in Christian colleges. They're encouraging the Patrick Henry gay blogspot.com or whatever it is. Don't go there. I said it wrongly on purpose. They're encouraging the homosexuals showing up at the conservative Christian colleges as well and giving them as much credence as possible. Why? Because they are apostates. They're embracing everything the Bible doesn't. They're embracing socialism, totalitarianism, homosexuality. If it's ugly, if it's wicked, if it's totalitarian, they love it. Why? Because they're turning away from the values they were raised with. And guess what? This has happened since day one. Think about Demas. Think about Alexander the Coppersmith. Think about Judas. I mean, these people have existed since the beginning of the Christian church, and these traitors are nothing new in the history of the world, my friends. And they're making it hard on the rest of us, but that's what the Benedict Arnolds have always done.
And that's nothing new either.
Yeah, exactly. So. Now, let's get back to home education. Are there problems with home education? Yes. Yes, there are problems. And we need to be the first to confess the weaknesses. Where there are weaknesses, confess them. And you know, their slothfulness is an issue. Now, again, is it any different public schools versus private schools versus homeschools? I doubt it. Slothfulness with young men. Yeah, it's a huge problem.
Yeah.
Huge problem. Lack of discipleship for young men because they're stuck tied to their mother's apron strings until they're 18 years of age. Yeah, that's dysfunctional. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen single moms out there who may have these codependent relationships with kids and they won't do any schooling at all with them. It's just this weird little codependency. They won't let them go to the public schools, won't get them go to private schools, and they won't even homeschool them because they're just sitting there in the house in this sort of weird codependent relationships. It's all self-centered. Yeah. You see issues, sin issues in people's lives everywhere.
Right.
And as you see those things, I think the church, the local church, needs to address them.
Yeah. See, really, this is not only just a family problem, but it's also a church discipline issue as well. And that's a whole different show.
It is.
It is. I mean, there's a book Jay Adams wrote that I just really liked on church discipline. And it's not, you know, most people think of church discipline as a way to kick people out of church. But really, church discipline is a right that everybody has in the church. A well-disciplined church is going to turn out well-disciplined families, which will then have an effect on the community at large.
Well, Steve, to close off the program, my hope is that homeschool leaders get a little chutzpah to them and fight the good fight, engage the battle of ideas, come back to a distinctively biblical world and life view and be more self-consistent to it, stop being so wishy-washy. And those leaders who are discouraged, I think they've been beaten up by an increasingly hostile media to homeschooling, and we can expect that. Hey, you know, homeschooling is making an impact. Of course the enemy's upset. Of course the media, the academy, the political world is going to note, and they're going to come after us, and they're going to do their best to discourage us. But man alive, get a little faith. You know, dig in for the long haul. Be self-consistent to your world and life view, and encourage the next generation homeschoolers who hopefully should be more self-consistent and more committed to the vision of home education than the previous generation. That's why I wrote my book, Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. And hopefully this will give vision to tens of thousands of people listening to the program, especially to our kids and grandkids who need a vision for educating their kids, a distinctively biblical vision, because education is a point at which we have seen massive apostasy from the Christian faith. This is the catalyst to apostasy. So if you want to see a restoration of the good things of life, friends, it's got to happen in the education of the next generation. The bad guys understand it. Now it's time for the good guys to figure it out. And that's why I wrote my book, Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for a Child. Also, Keep the Faith, Volume 1, deals with a historical Christian perspective of education based on 2,000 years of the greatest Christians who've ever written anything on Christian education. You need to get these books, get these resources, and empower the next generation to be even more faithful than we were. The vision for home education, for family-based education, you'll find it in my book, Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child, at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.